Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, guys? Kels Charles, Megan Murray here, and you are listening to Girls Talking Boys in partnership with SB Nation. As always, hello.
Oh, hi there. How was your week? I didn't even know it was Friday already.
Dude, literally.
I thought it was Monday. Might as well be.
When you texted me, I was like, oh, it's today. Like, it's been a blur, and I can't tell you how many emails the poor agencies that work for me. In my 9 to 5, I sent them like an email and I was like, I need this back by end of day, like July 21st on Monday. And they were like, July 21st is a Wednesday. And I was like, June 21st, I don't know what side is up and what side is down. Like I have none clues where I am at the moment. My apologies.
Truly. Like I only remembered because so we always record on Thursdays. Oh, yes. Usually. And I was like, oh yeah, I did just watch a new episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last night. That comes on Wednesday. Oh, today's Thursday.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that I realized that today was Thursday because of the shows that I watch. So you can thank Kyle Richards.
Bless.
And the gang.
Bless. Which super sidebar. I used to watch that show when it first came out and y'all, Megan has got me back into the whole reality TV thing. Like I'm watching Summer House.
You're
now.
Welcome.
Yeah. I actually was watching Southern Charm on my own, but like Summer House and all these,
that's how I knew I could get you.
Yeah. I watched Love is Blind, man. Like what else have I watched? I started watching
Who
The Bachelor.
Watch that at the beginning of the Panini. I mean, come on.
Truly. Like it was desperation mode. Then like Love Island or something. And I was like, this one is straight tragic, but
it's so good though, because like they don't have time to edit it. They just like, it's daily, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So it's just like, this happened yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
and they produce that much content.
I remember when I'm old enough to remember when I thought that reality TV was real, like, as you guys know, if you've been listening to us for a minute, which we should have celebrated our 1 year anniversary. Like let's buy each other some things like a cake or something or a gluten-free cookie cake because we've been doing this for over a year.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, that's fair.
Pie or die.
I'm sorry. I'll remember important things about our friendship. Today's not that day, I guess. forgive me, but we've had Stephen Clutty on the show. And that just reminds me of when I was like so invested in Laguna Beach, like I thought it was real. And I was like, this is the hills and Laguna Beach. Like when Kristen was mean to LC, like that, I was upset, but like now I love Kristen. And then I realized like, none of this is real. My whole entire life is a lie. Like guys, I was so into it and so invested. I don't know why my parents let me do this, but I, for spring break, like my junior year, or sophomore year in high school, dragged my parents out to like, this is the most like white girl, middle class, like suburban shit of all time. We went to Huntington Beach. You want to know why we went to Huntington Beach? Because it was on the TV screens at Hollister. And I was like, we got to go to vacation there, obviously. And then it sucked because it was like, I don't surf. And it was next to like a paper mill. And I was like, my parents were like, so what are we going to do? And I was like, I got no idea. Like I'm looking, I don't know, where's the Hollister at? Cause that's the only thing I know. That's the attraction in this town. And they were like, you've got to be kidding me. And so
I'm just here wearing my mini skirt and my two layered camis with the t-shirt over it. Like, what do you want from me, mom and dad?
And I brought my UGG boots to LA. Like, obviously I was trendy AF.
Which also takes us back to an iconic line from Laguna Beach. Homeboy wore combat boots to the beach.
Well,
it all comes full circle.
It does, because then we all hated Huntington Beach so much that we went down south to Laguna Beach and stayed in Laguna Beach. And I was like, all right, where is Kristen and Steven? And I was like, oh my God, there's the lighthouse. Like, I've seen this in the pictures. And I was like, this restaurant we're eating in looks like the restaurant that Steven and Kristen went to dinner at. Are you kidding me, Kelsey? Like, how would I know that? Like, there was like no shot showing the restaurant. It was like an indoor, like dark restaurant where they ate Italian food. Like, come on, man. Anyways, super sidebar.
You probably got it right. And you probably passed by 100%. The street where like Kristen's car broke down and she said, my car is donezo. So and I'll never forget that. Never.
And when they drove by singing Don't Stop Believing, and then like, as if that song, I don't know if that song was like the anthem for all drunk frat people before that show aired, but like, my God, it is now.
Yeah, we'll have to, we were like younger than them at this point. So I have no idea what the bar scene was like back then. So, you know, if anyone wants to fill in the blanks for us, that'd be great.
A true cultural moment. All right. Well,
speaking of cultural moments.
Yeah. I'm going to veer us back on, or you are on track, because we are going to talk about the Cowboys on this show, because that is what we talk about on this show.
And California, technically.
California. Yeah. Because the Cowboys are going back to Oxnard. They officially announced it. And as if I, you know, haven't been obnoxious enough and told you guys what I do for my 9 to 5. It got me reminiscing.
Guys, did you know that Kelsey used to run training camp?
Did you guys know that I used to run training camp and then I did media on the side? Did you also know that my job in 9 to 5 right now is in sponsorship and then I do media on the side? I repeat myself. I think it's a product of being ADHD, but also I just repeat myself. So,
well, also then like no one can really forget. So
yeah,
you know,
like I drill it into your head. Like that's why that I am who I am. Like you, people were like, oh, I know who you are. And I'm like, yeah, because like, I don't let you forget.
Maybe I should just tell you how much I hate cake more often so that you remember that I like pie.
Honestly, it's a probable strategy. It will work. Maybe 9 times out of 10 out of 20.
There's only one way to find out.
But it got me thinking. I was like reminiscing about just said previous experiences. And since it's the off season and, you know, yada, 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 nothing's really happening. And I just would love to relive some of my favorite Cowboys memories. And I wanted to know if you'd be down for that too.
Oh my God. I had no idea that's what we were doing today.
Did you not?
Ironclad memory.
Since I've already like totally stolen, you know, the first part of this show just by blabbing, I will let you start with yours. Also, because if we're being totally honest, like you are the more tried and true fan. Like you are from Dallas mostly, basically, yes. And you've been a fan.
I moved here when I was 2. So if you can't count that as being native enough, like let's discuss.
Semantics, truly. Yeah. I just feel like this is like part of the Megan Murray history. So I'd love to let you kick things off with your favorite memories. Go.
Well, I don't even, this one kind of like ties into like 3 different memories, honestly. And it really started with the 22, or sorry, wow. I don't know how to say years that aren't 20 something anymore. 2006. When we had Drew Bledsoe starting, and he was just having a really shitty time. The first, 7th game is when Tony came in. And I just remember like the fanfare around Tony at that time, because everyone was like, well, this sure as hell is not working. And it was like every game, people were just like, we want Tony. And like, we want Romo. And he was just such a big deal. And I'm like, this is a like guy on our bench. Do we even know much about him? Like he had one breakout play at like in like preseason a couple years ago before this. And like, that's all I really knew about him. And so I was like, I guess anything's better than this. So they made the switch halftime against the Giants. And it was just crazy that time, like when Tony took over, and it wasn't that big of a surprise really, because like, you know, Drew is not he's used to being replaced by like a future, not, I wouldn't call Tony a Hall of Famer, but you know, the future of the franchise.
Right.
And yeah. So, I mean, that wasn't too shocking for him, I'm sure.
Right.
But it was just a wild ride. And I just remember people being so obsessed with Tony Romo. And then he like had this like weird star power. Like, do you remember him dating everybody in the world?
Yes. Jessica Simpson. I remember like people were very, very mad at her a lot because they were convinced she was cursed. And
I like how people like to blame like having a shitty game on like a girlfriend as if that has anything to do with it. Sorry to Kim Kardashian.
Yes. Like Miles, oh my God, I forgot about Miles.
Miles, Austin. Yeah. Miles Austin and Kim Kardashian. A moment in time.
I always equate like, her with Reggie truly. Bush.
Yeah. I mean, that one is like the bigger relationship, but I just, that brings me to another point. Honestly, yeah. This okay. is why I said this one's so layered to me.
Yeah.
Because just like the Tony Romo era in general, and like him dating Jessica Simpson and Carrie Underwood yep. and like all that stuff, just being such a like bursting onto the scene, like any quarterback of the Cowboys is going to be a big deal. But when you had gone from like being basically the Browns getting a new quarterback every other day to like, this is our guy. And then like just everything surrounding him was so nuts. And then Miles Austin goes and dates Kim Kardashian. Like what? And granted, he is a handsome man.
Yes.
Maybe they could go like J-Lo and Ben Affleck and like run it back. But
yeah, yeah. His eyes are insane.
By this point. His eyes are insane.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was such a like Dallas Cowboys crossover pop culture era with like the beginning of Tony's career.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Which I very much appreciate.
It's very much the pinnacle of the perfect cross section of Meg Murray contact. Contact? Whoa. Yeah. Content. There we go.
Content. You know, I know what you're going for.
Yeah. You know, round up. It's fine. But yes, like, first of all, just the fashion in which Tony started and the fact that, like, Bledsoe, like that's just it is kind of interesting, obviously, with the Tom Brady replacing him when he with yeah. the hit against the Jets and then, you know, down the line, talk about some foreshadowing. And I guess that like, with Romo and Dak, but also like I guess that's kind of what happens, like old quarterbacks probably are gonna get knocked up. Wow, I literally am having a really hard time today. Knocked up, Kelsey, really? You're gonna get beat up a little bit. Yeah, seriously. And then they're gonna be replaced, whatever. But you're right. Like it was like very dramatic. And then to have all of this just star power behind not just Tony, but like who was in his life. And then, you know, you got all these teammates who are doing all these things. And it was just, I'm sure Jerry was loving it because it's again,
oh, of course.
So his brand, it's not even funny.
Yeah, like he dated, I feel like he just dated a lot of people that were all like big names and early, I don't know, just, and I feel like Jerry even had a hand in it. Like, who are you going to talk to get involved with girl tones?
How do you feel like he actually got in touch with these people? Because like, if you think about it, Instagram.
It's always, I feel like all the, yeah, because they weren't like sliding into DMs at this
yes.
point.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like really high profile people like talk to each other through agents. And I find yes. that fascinating.
I think that Andy Roddick, I think that's how he and Brooklyn Decker got together. And I think his agent was like reached out to her agent and was like, hey, my client is like into your client thoughts. And, you know, he's like, not only would this be great for them, but it'd be great for us. Like business will be booming. And I feel like that's probably how yeah. that went down because there was no sliding into DMs.
Well, and it's like Jessica Simpson is like a hometown girl. She went to high school in Richardson. Like she's from this area and to like, she shot up in stardom like crazy. And then to have her dating Tony Romo, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, how much more Texas can you get than that?
Truly. Yeah. Yeah. And then he also goes on and dates a country artist. And it just is like, it's, I love Candace and I'm super glad they worked out, but like, what a moment in time for the Dallas Cowboys.
Truly. And like, I mean, Candace Romo, or Candace Crawford, as she once was, like, she's no one to not write home about. What am I trying to say? But she, like, her brother is on Gossip Girl. So that was cool.
Yeah. I remember.
And she's gorgeous. So there's that.
She is. And super nice and all of the above. Like, I remember the first time, because I'm a big Gossip Girl fan. I'm super excited for the reboot. But I remember the first time I saw Chase Crawford, and like, he's so nice. And then there's a few cast members who came to a game one time too. Her name's like Jessica Cesar. So I don't even know, but she came to a game once and I was there and I was like, oh my God, like, this is weird. Like, worlds colliding. anyways.
I hope you like took a really far away photo of her and you were like spotted at the Dallas Cowboys game with Nate Archibald.
I hope I did too. I can't say I did though. I have to be honest, which is like really honestly a missed opportunity.
You're probably being professional or something. Like,
maybe, I don't know. I actually have a fun memory about Tony. Because, you know, he just obviously he was the quarterback when I came and started working for the team. Like, I didn't grow up in Texas. I grew up in, you know, Atlanta and also Kansas City. And so I just,
like, you guys don't remember that.
Did you guys know that I grew up in Kansas City? Just a question.
And just family in Ohio and in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Did you also know they used to run training camp? Because I used to run training camp and I work in sponsorships. That's my 9-to-5. Fun fact.
All of that to say.
And I like cats. But.
Oh, yeah.
All that to say. And I used to date an equipment manager. All right. Anyways. When I first started with the team and I interned and blah, 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 and I got hired. Obviously, Tony was the guy. And so we surrounded a program at training camp where we called them helmet carriers. It was like with Albertsons. And we would bring in kids from the local Boys and Girls Club and other charities around the Oxnard and Santa Barbara area. And they would come on the field or line up by the locker room. And as the players would run out in position groups, they would grab their helmets and run out on the field with them. And it was just like really cute, got their photo op and all that jazz. Well, I was in charge of that program. And I noticed this one kid who was just really kind of having a hard time. And he was really nervous. And, you know, I just could tell, like, it was just, there was something different. And so his dad like was on the sideline and he kind of walked over to me and said, "Hey, do you mind if I go up there with him? You know, my son, we were going to try to do this on his own, but he actually has autism. And so this is a lot for him to handle." And I was like, "Of course, like, obviously, like, go for it." And so I walked him up there and he was telling me how he was really also nervous because Tony's his favorite player of all time. And, you know, this kid is like really trying to overcome the hand that he was dealt so he could be a part of this experience. And obviously I'm just melting as we're talking about this. And so I run over to the locker room and tell the equipment guys. And I was like, "Hey, like, would you mind grabbing Tony and like letting him know, like, heads up, like, there's someone that specifically we want for him, and just like stop and grab me before he goes out." Long story short, we end up pairing Tony with the kid. And like, I'm not joking, you guys, this little kid's face like lit up, and like Tony took the time to like talk to him and like make him feel really comfortable. Cause I kind of briefed him and let him know, like, "Hey, you know, it's a bit of a special situation." And it was just one of like the sweetest moments ever. And his dad was like over the moon. The kid was over the moon. And I still have the picture of them with Tony to this day. And it was just like super heartfelt moment. And I thought that was really cool. So I have more funnier stories, but like, that was just a really cool moment for me. And I think that's one of my things that I love about working in this industry is that, you know, I think we take for granted a lot of times about what we get exposure to and what we get to be a part of. And it's one of my favorite things to be able to share that with other people when I can, especially those that are deserving. And so, yeah, that was one of my favorite moments. So
that's cute.
I know. It was
look
really
at you, Tones Drums.
I know.
Being all nice and stuff.
Way to go, Tones. Way to go.
We're getting Tony heavy right now.
We are. That's my only Tony story. I mean, there's this other one that was pretty funny where I had to take this photo of him for media days of like this probably sunglasses. And he was like, are you effing kidding me? I wish I sold the photo. Cause he was like, are you serious? Like I had to take it for like a sponsor. And he was so, he was just like, he gave me like the biggest like smirk, like you're not going to use this photo. Cause I'm not going to participate in this willingly.
Nice try, lady.
Literally. He was like, I am not a part of this. Anyways, what else you got?
You'll remember this one. So we're playing the Eagles. The year is 2017. Yes. And then there's a, you know, a little head-to-head contact. Someone loses a helmet. Oh. Guess who breaks loose?
Who?
Jason Witten. The Jason Witten helmetless run. Lest we forget. Iconic. The photos are everywhere throughout the facility. Like, what a moment in time. It will live on forever.
Yes. I think you've been saying 2007.
No.
It wasn't 2017. You mean the Eagles? The Eagles game? Yeah, that was 2007.
You sure?
Yes. I just Googled it too because I was like, wait a minute. Because I also worked for the team, or I was around, and that was like, it happened way before I was there. Hmm. Either way. Well,
then I just watched that clip and it, you know, what are years? What are years?
I mean, that
it
man,
feels like yesterday.
Truly, he's a warrior. Like Columbo was there too. Yeah, Columbo was on the field. Like it was like genuinely, I mean, if you, when you look up in the dictionary, football player, Jason Witten's face is next to it. The man, he was the first guy, the player that I ever saw in person in real life, IRL.
He's huge.
Massive.
Huge.
Like the photos, video, TV does not do the man justice. He's like a GD Power Ranger. It's unbelievable. And yeah, he's very intense, obviously never misses a play and deserves to go down, not just in the Cowboys history books, but all NFL history books. I mean, he's right up there, obviously, with like the Tony Gonzalez. Like when you talk about some of the great tight ends, like how can you not mention him?
Oh, for sure. And just like, yeah, that play in particular is just like everywhere, all over the facility. Like yeah. Don't they have that one? No, that's not the big one of him.
It is
like giant. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's like this, what, 7 feet tall, like bigger than that.
Oh, I think it's bigger than that. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah. Like, it's huge.
It's literally, huge. If you guys, whenever they start doing tours again at the facility, you should definitely take one, both at the facility at the Star and also the stadium. They're both amazing, but you actually walk as you're walking onto the Ford Center from the player's side of the building. There's this massive, massive, massive. I mean, I don't know measurements well enough to be able to eyeball it, but it's just amazing. Like it's huge. And it's a big, massive photo of Jason Witten, the helmetless play, like on the wall as you walk into play and practice every single day, which is like obviously a reminder, like, hey, this is the gold standard of what you should be.
Yeah, this is a cowboy.
Yeah. Like this is what we epitomize as cowboys. And so, yeah, he's awesome. It's just weird. Like I'm obviously very excited about the guys we have in the building, and maybe it's because it's very nostalgic for me. And like, I'm very nostalgic in general, but it's so weird to me just to have the end of an era with all of these guys who are just so larger than life at one point to me. And I know to a lot of others as well, not there anymore. And it's kind of crazy. Like time marches on, man.
It really does. Like I can't even believe that I was in high school when that happened. That's insane.
Dude. Yeah. It's weird. We're old AF, but whatever.
Well, no, truly. Like what was last year? That last year didn't even count. Last year was 3 years in one that didn't matter.
Yeah.
So like truly.
No kidding.
What is time?
What is time? Speaking of guys are no longer in the building. I have one about one of those guys specifically that meant a lot to me in my time there. And also when he left, and I know he's still making runs for it now, but Dez Bryant. So as again, because we like to repeat ourselves, me especially, you know, this is a Des Bryant stan podcast. And it will, that's it. That is no different today, but there was obviously a time when there was a lot of scrutiny being placed on him and, you know, his, you know, behavior on the sidelines and blah, 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 and whatever else, just being loud. And
people were so mad about that.
I know. And
I mean, Des Bryant walked so that OBJ could run. So
yeah, I don't know. I say this, I used to listen to, what was it? First Take, before I knew any better, before I worked in sports. And now that I worked in the industry, I'm like, oh my God, like, don't go. Most national reporters, like 9 times out of 10, and this is not all of them by any means, but a lot of them don't know what they're talking about per se. And quite frankly, a lot of them have turned into pundits who just have to like have a hot opinion or a hot take in order to make headlines. And of course, if you want to make headlines, the easiest thing to do is talk about the Cowboys. Like, it just is, or the Patriots, or, you know, Patrick Mahomes now. So it just, it's, we're going to be talked about. And at one point in time, Des Bryant was that guy, and he's going down the sidelines, like, you know, yelling, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's, you know, talking shit about that. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Understood. But have you ever interacted with him? Because he's incredibly animated, very animated. And he's very, very loud all the time. And very, very passionate about what he does.
Yeah, I feel like this might be a time to mention when he chased you down on the street, for those people,
literally
those people who haven't heard that story.
What I'm going to tell. And I actually have two stories about him.
Thank God.
I'll tell you the first one before I tell you that one. So at Valley Ranch, my office was right across the hall from Jerry Jones's office. And so I guess Des had, it was around this time when everyone was like getting mad at him, whatever. I guess he had an appointment in Jerry's office for some reason or another. And it was in March. And so obviously off season, because we didn't go to Super Bowl and blah, blah, blah. But he comes into my boss's office right across the hall from Jerry and sits down, and like, I'm in there, and he just starts like talking to us. And it, like, we were just, you know, one of the people like that, we just were coworkers of his, right? Cause we were. And he starts talking about how everyone's just kind of on him and like how passionate he is about going somewhere with this team. And he says, you know, if you're not ready by come March 21st, which is the day they had to report, to work your ass off and give everything you want, you can to this team, like, I don't want you here. And he said, because at the end of the day, like, he was like, my home life wasn't great. And my first family, I will never remember these words. I will never forget these words. Excuse me. My first family was in the locker room. And I'm not going to go into his past and everything like that, but just know that it's not the typical past. And I'm sure you can do some research. And I will never forget that moment. And he's like, that's why I care so much, because this team is my family. And that's what always football has been to me. And so it just gave me a bit of color to why he's so animated, why he cares so much. And yet, in light of all the scrutiny he was facing, he was like, you know, I don't care. Like, they can sit there on the sidelines and talk about me all they want and try and give their opinions and insert their opinions into my experience, but it doesn't matter because they have no idea. So loved that moment. Just thought I gained a lot, like, a respect for him as a player in that moment in time. But also I loved Des in my interactions with him, working for the team. It was one day randomly, I remember this, it was before the Colts game on a Friday, and I was running down McKinney Avenue, like outside, and it was kind of raining, like not too hard, but like kind of raining, because I'm weird and I like to run outside in the rain. Go figure. And
Freak of nature.
Yeah. That's a story for a different day. And I see this like Bentley driving past. And I was like, I mean, it's downtown Dallas. Like, we're in Dallas. That's not unusual. And then I keep running, and it takes a U-turn in the middle of the road. And I was like, okay, like, whatever. And then it like pulls up kind of behind me and like parks into the parking lot behind me. And I was like, that's weird. I mean, maybe they need to get a spray tan, like, whatever. And I keep running, and I turn this corner, and I look back behind me to my left, because I'm just trying to make sure like no cars are coming as I'm about to cross the road. And I see this like man running after me, like sprinting after me. And I'm like, holy shit. Like any woman's worst nightmare, like by yourself, like granted, it's broad daylight Friday afternoon, but I'm just like, there's a man running after me right now. And obviously he catches me because it's effing as Bryant. So
also just, freak of nature.
Yeah. Like I'm not faster than Des Bryant is what I also found out that day. and he was like,
you're not?
Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact of the day. And he was like, what are you doing out here? And I was like, what are you doing? And he was just like, I drove by and saw you. And I just wanted to say hi. And I was like, holy shit, you psycho. And obviously he's wearing like his amazing jewelry. And it's like, whatever that Roc Nation like logo is, he's got like this like a massive diamond chain and it's like twisted because he was running after me. And so I untwisted his diamond chain for him. I was like, there you go. You're welcome. And he's just like, I wanted to say hi. Good to see you. But I got to go now. I was like, good to see you too. So random. So funny. But also, yeah.
Just a normal day in Dallas. Running into people being chased down on the street.
But like perspective wise, honestly, in that moment in time, like, I don't know. Was I like 25 years old, 26? I have no idea. Who am I to him, right? Like I'm a peasant in at that team. Like I'm no one, right? And I just thought it was kind of nice that he made the effort and has always made the effort with people like me and been not above me and said like, hey, what's up? And not only that, but he was just like, hey, you're my coworker. Like, what are you doing? Like saying hi. Like I just, it was really funny. And yeah, but I definitely thought there was someone trying to murder me for a hot minute at the end.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Your turn. Pass the mic.
Oh, Desi boy.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I guess speaking of Desmond Demond Bryant, this isn't a good memory. I'll never forget the catch.
Oh, dude.
I never will.
I know.
As long as I live, I'll wake up in the middle of the night at 4 a.m, like 20 years down the road and be like, oh, this caught it.
Everyone's always like, you wouldn't have made it past the next round anyways. And I'm like, listen, you don't know that. Like once you get to the playoffs, it's all bets off. Did you hate Aaron Rodgers as much as you, like before that though? I have to ask.
I don't think I cared so much. I will say like, I never really, there's like a thing with like Packers fans and Dallas fans. Like there always has, or there has been for a long time, I should say. Just, I feel like, especially after the 90s, yeah. Just like whose franchise is better, who has more history, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
So like, did I ever like him? No. But did I like hate him? No. I do now.
I was like, tell me how you feel now, young Mego. Well,
and I have told this story before, but for those of you who haven't heard it, my friend, I was visiting my friend in Los Angeles during this, this time. And,
oh, this is good. You
know, we literally made our like caught the whole game. And then we were going to go to the airport and then wait and then go to Dallas.
Yeah.
And so he was like, if this is right down the street, it'll be perfect. And we were like, you know, lagging behind anyways, because we had already had like a great weekend, a little hungover. We're like, all right, we're going to go to this bar recommended by a trusted friend and ally.
Yes.
But it turns out it was a Packers bar. So we were the only Cowboys fans in there.
Awesome.
And yeah, they didn't let us forget it. And so they were picking on us the entire game. And then that catch like was going to give us like the momentum to win this game. And yeah. So we celebrated because we were like, that's a catch. Let's go, baby. Like we were like in your face, in your face, in your face. And yeah.
So by the way,
they threw that right back at us.
Is literally, if you've ever had the joy of watching a game or the displeasure, depending on how well the team's doing with young Mego, you will know. Just
let me say this. Explicit.
She's very animated, as is her sister. It runs in the family. So continue, yeah. Though.
Yeah, no, it, yeah. Yeah, so it was not good. And Taylor Lasseter, who came on a couple months ago to hold it down for young Kelso, he was the person I was with. And we got like standing up, like, yeah, what's up? And then they took it back and then we cried. So
that's, I can't even imagine, dude.
We got like, what is like the shame, shame, shame. Like that's how it felt when we were walking out of that.
Yeah.
I was like, where is the waitress? I need to pay and leave right now.
And also, how do we not know what an effing football move is? I cannot and will not ever get over that. As long as I live, this
well, and like
I can.
That was Dave's. What part of my birthday present was Dave got me a cameo from Gene Steratore, and he was like, "If it was now, then that would have been a catch." I was like, "Fuck you!" Yes. It was a catch then.
Thanks for nothing, Gene.
It's like this is a torturous gift.
It's the same thing. I'm like, if Dean Blandino ever like comes on my screen, I'm like, turn it off, turn it off. I don't want to hear your shit.
God.
Like, I can't look at your
shit. And they like to, he's like an analyst now or whatever. So they always like go to him during games. And I'm just like, oh, that name.
Triggered.
Yeah. Also, my dad's name is Gene. So that's difficult for me, you know, all around.
Yeah. I actually didn't think about that. Interesting. Well, that was a moment in time that I will not ever forget, but also I wish I could. Wow. One Truly. Person who also actually, this is like segueing kind of nicely. Like, I think we're doing a pretty good job because I now have a story about another 88. So it's kind of going well. And hopefully we're not like boring you guys to death. Cause like, this is what I do. I like to relive my glory days.
Honestly, this week was boring to death. So now we're just, you know, talking our shit. So
yeah,
here we
are. So for, you know, drinking game alert, if I say, did you know that I used to run training camp? Drink. So you're on probably drink five now, but back when I used to run training camp, I had a bunch of interns and we used to communicate by walkie talkie and you know, it was
that's really fun.
It was awesome.
Walkie talkies are like, they're an outdated form of communication. However,
underrated.
Yes.
Very underrated.
Remember the most fun
cell phones that were like yellow or something that came out, like maybe they're like Sprint phones back in the day that were like, I think they're for construction workers mainly, or they were targeted towards them where they're like half cell phone, half walkie talkie. Like, yes to those. Yeah,
definitely.
Maybe I should bring that back.
I mean, they're bringing back the Motorola razors.
Dude, so. I'm kind of here for that. Like, maybe I'll get a burner just so I can have a razor again.
I love that, actually. Can it be? Mine was blush pink. So
mine was too. Of course, we had the same one. Shocking.
Of course.
So of course, my interns would have to call me occasionally for said things. And we had people staff at like the VIP entrances and whatever and the VIP lists. And I'd be like, go for Kelsey. Anyways, one kid called me one day and he was like, hey, Kelsey, there's a guy here at the VIP and his name is Michael Irvine and he's not on the list. And I was like, I was grabbing my stuff and like trying to like grab my walkie talkie. Like it was falling out of my hands. I was like, let him in now, please. Michael Irvine is not on the VIP list. So we weren't going to let him into training camp that day, y'all, straight up. So needless to say, that young child, baby child had to be educated on who Michael Irvine was. So we would avoid that in the future. I also made sure he understood who Jerry Jones was and then the triplets in general and maybe like a lesson in, you know, who was anyone around the organization. But dear Jesus, we almost didn't let Michael Irvin in the training camp one year. So
good God.
Because Michael Irvine was not on the VIP list. I was like, let the man in.
Like, What was that? Well, never mind. This is one of those things where like, I feel like I remember everything, but I can't accurately describe what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of, God, it was a commercial with Deion Sanders in it. And it's like, has like a alias of some sort. Anyways, I'll think of it later.
Yeah. Do that.
I Googled it. I'd probably find out, but. It's failing me at this time.
Do you have any others? Because I have like one or two more or one and a half.
I'm going to let you go ahead because like I said, my memory is truly failing me.
It's okay.
Today. Except for I know that today is Thursday because the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was on yesterday.
Yeah.
Now it's actually Friday when you're listening to it. So
mile markers.
Not to confuse.
Yes. Not to confuse. Okay, so I'll give you my last one. And it was TBT, since it is Thursday as we're recording this right now, to when I drafted Jeff Swaim. So a couple of years ago, I don't remember what year it was, whatever year we drafted Jeff Swaim, the league was decided they wanted to do like a 3-day. Well, actually, Stephen Jones pitched this because he's on this committee, blah, blah, blah. And the Jones family is, if you didn't realize this by now, pretty much at the forefront of a lot of things that are impactful to the NFL. So we started doing a 3-day draft day party. It used to be one day on Thursday on the first day, and now it's every single day. I was the first one. Not only did I run training camp, drinking game, but I also ran draft day. And so it was the first year we did 3 days of draft day. And so we had to figure out programming for all of them. And then the league also said, hey, if you guys want, we'll let you guys do your own picks from your facility or wherever you guys do your draft day party. And we'll just, you know, kick it over to you all from, you know, the actual auditorium for the pick to be made with you all. So we brought in like, you know, our cheerleaders, like our alumni players. And then we had, I think it was like season ticket holders and maybe some sponsors, like people that of course you take care of because they are, they take care of you as a team. And so we get through the whole like last third day, I'm exhausted. All the picks are done and, you know, we are done for the day. And I had done a Cowboys carnival. So I installed, because I'm a psychopath, and I was like, I want a Ferris wheel out at the stadium. And my boss was like, what? And I was like, yes. So I put a Ferris wheel out at the stadium. And I, at the end of the day, like we sent everyone home. We're like, cool guys. Thanks so much. That was perfect. That was fun. That was great. Hope you guys enjoyed yourself. Cheerleaders, you can go. Alumni players, you can go. Rowdy, like, go have fun. He's like, gets on the Ferris wheel because he's been wanting to do it all day. And then I get a call. I don't know, maybe like 3 minutes later, 4 minutes later, everyone's already gone. And they're like, we've traded back in. And I was like, I'm sorry, excuse me.
Oh, no.
Come again? Hello? What? I'm sorry. I can't hear you. We traded back in for Jeff Swaim. And I was like, holy shit, we have no one. And they're like, well, who's going to do it? And they're like, we got to pick, like, you got to go. And I was like, I got to go. And I was like, I mean, okay, I'll go. So they literally hand me the draft card and I like run up on stage and we like get Rowdy down off of the, I was like, get him off of the effing Ferris wheel now. And he like gets up on stage with me. And of course, like Jeff Swaim is not spelled like J-E-F-F. So I'm like, hopefully it's not Joff or something like that. Like he's not going like full old school. And yeah, so I drafted Jeff Swaim on the television. And I need to find that clip somewhere. I need to get like Bobby Belt on that. I had
I'm
it at one point.
Shocked that you haven't figured this out.
Dude, I know. I know. So if someone wants to find the video of me drafting Jeff Swaim on NFL Network, whenever that was, I would love you forever because that's pretty funny. But I do have a photo, so there's that. So yeah, I like to joke around and tell him that, and you guys can thank me or not thank me because, you know, depending on if you like Jeff Swaim or not.
Or something.
The end. Yeah.
Well, so this last one I'll leave you with is really a bad good one, as always. Like, yep. Sure. I feel like all of mine are like haunted.
It's the plight of a Cowboys fan though. So this fits.
It really is. One of my favorite Dez Bryant catches was, and I did make sure to double check this because again, I don't know what year is what.
I mean,
how old am I? I'm 26. Let's just call it that. Oh. Anyways, so.
What? No, you're not.
No.
I mean, yes, you are.
Don't tell people that.
My bad. Me too.
Anyways, but it was in 2013 and it was like against the Detroit Lions. So it was Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant, Clash of the Titans.
Yep.
And like he went up and caught this crazy catch against, I don't even know his name, honestly, but it was like, he was holding it like with one arm against his helmet and his like shoulder. And he managed to keep possession of the ball and it was insane.
Yeah.
All that to say,
Brandon Carr. Maybe Brandon Carr.
Potentially.
He got beat up.
All of that. This was Dez Bryant making this catch.
Oh, okay.
So not potentially. But all of that to say, this is the game that taught me not to make bets. Because it was I was watching it with Detroit Lions fans and they're Detroit Lions, like went to Michigan, like they are hardcore.
Sure.
And they brought a damn flag with them. We had like a private room at this bar. They brought a damn flag with them to the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I hate them, but I respect them.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely respected their fandom, but I was like, fuck your flag.
Quote her.
It was kind of like tight and pretty. It was pretty well played, like on both sides. But like, I felt pretty confident at the very end. I think we were looking at it now. It was like, we were up 30-24 with no timeouts in less than a minute. And then Matthew Stafford leads the Lions to an 80-yard drive capped off with a quarterback keeper with 12 seconds left to give Detroit a 31-30 win. Less than a minute, Kelsey. Less than a minute. You know, by then I was like talking my shit like Matthew Stafford doesn't have the balls. I was like, he can't do shit.
Highland Park ain't shit.
Talking my mess at these like hardcore fans, and we had made a bet.
No.
We had made a bet that like if the Cowboys won, like they were gonna like have to take pictures in Cowboys jerseys and post it on Facebook. And then if the Lions won, like I had to go like run through the bar with the flag and then like take a picture So guess who had to run through the freaking bar with a Detroit Lions flag? I was wearing my Cowboys jersey. So obviously, like, so much shame. So much shame. Dude, that's why I don't make bets.
No, never in my life. I can't. I don't actually like bets either. I'm like,
Yeah, people are like, let's bet on it. I'm like, $5?
I'll like bet like a
shot. I'm more inclined to bet someone $20 than like do something like that ever again.
No, I can't. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was bad.
I hate that. God, I, like that's annoying to me because I hate losing and I hate other fan bases. Obviously when I'm playing them, it just reminds me, like, yeah. I love that we're talking about fans that we like hate. Like, I'm like, I hate Eagles fans. Like I hate,
but Eagles. I am them, not an Eagles fan. Like, I'm not going to throw like a drink at you, but
Eagles fans are so stupid. I just, that reminded me, oh my God, I can't tell y'all details. Cause like, it ended up being like a legal issue, but this like dumbass Eagles fan did something stupid to Cowboys things that whatever and videotaped it and then made a fucking blog about it. And I was like, you're an idiot. You are. I mean, oh my God.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb for real.
I can't fix stupid. And, no. But it made me secretly inside smile as I hit the send button to our legal attorney. And I was like, here you go, because I don't even have to explain what happened because this motherfucker outed himself on video. God.
There's always a video these days, guys. Like, be smart. Sun's in four.
It's sun's in four. It's next level when you do it to yourself, though. I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
I mean, if we didn't learn anything on January 6th, maybe don't. You know, take a video of yourself breaking the law. It's a thought.
I would say sons in four, but that's inexcusable. Sons in four to everything else, though.
I'm like really into the sons in four saga, though. Like, I follow it on a daily basis. He has merch now, guys. Like, it's a whole thing.
Oh, are you kidding me, dude? When you, I didn't know about it until you sent
me. He partnered with Barstool, so he's getting half of like everything that they make for it.
So we're gonna call our girl Trista and get us some.
I kind of want one. Like, I don't like the Suns. I'd like Devin Booker. I don't dislike the Suns either.
I just feel like I've been a bit reckless lately in my life, mainly my dating life. And it feels like it applies.
Just like keep that Suns in for energy.
Maybe don't though. If I don't want to end up alone.
It was self-defense.
I'm like, oh, a bouquet of red flags. Thank you so much. I love them. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, if you would listen to me more often, you would avoid a lot of this.
You did tell me like 2 months ago, you're like, that ain't it, sis. And I was like, I know, but, and you're like, okay, well, call me when it ends. And
I feel like you don't like to listen to me because I'm a cynical asshole, but like, I'm always right.
Hey, maybe men should stop being assholes. So we don't have to be so cynical. Ooh.
That's fair.
The chicken or the egg. I feel like it's one of those situations. And I'm pretty sure I know which one came first. And it ain't me. Motherfuckers.
Sometimes trips down memory lane are only a week old, you know?
Wound! I'm kidding. I'm not really kidding. All right. That's a story for a different day over a lot of alcohol. But guys, listen, I thought of like 10 more stories. This was fun. We should totally do this again. And if you want, because the panini is like, you know, winding down and we're all getting our vaxies, we can all meet up in public together and make our own memories.
And I'm not taking any bets. So
yeah, I'll take a shot with you, but that's about it.
She'll only do it if the field goal goes through.
Yeah.
That's her thing. Speaking
I love kickers.
Speaking of a great Kelsey memory, watching games, we were watching a game at a bar and we were like, let's, you know, make it interesting because this is horrible. It was the game we were playing against the Jets. Let's all think about that one for a moment, how well that was going.
I was not in a good state of mind, obviously.
She hates kickers too. Like, she has a long, like, they're all her arch nemesis. Like,
ever since Dan Bailey has left the building, I've had like a really rough relationship with kickers. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like one.
Yeah.
Never met a kicker she liked that wasn't named Dan Bailey.
Truth.
So.
Truth.
Yeah. So what was his butt? Like, what was his name?
Maher.
Yes. Brett Maher. How could I forget? Husker. Shame. He was not having a good day. And Kelsey was like, if he makes this, I'm buying us all shots.
And it was like a 55 plus yarder or something like that. I was like, ain't no fucking way this man makes this.
Because it wasn't above 60. So it was a sketch.
Yeah. I was like, no way, no how. And mind you, we're sitting at a table of like eight.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, you balling like that then, huh?
I'll buy this whole table a round of shots if this motherfucker makes this, like calling it now. And everyone's like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, come on, man. And like, don't kick us while we're down. I was like, listen, it's fine. Like, I'm just trying to make things interesting. Well, guess who made things interesting besides not me?
Your credit card?
Yeah. Brett Maher makes this thing. And and everyone looks at me and Meg's like, so about that shot. And I was like, yeah, about that shot. Jesus F. Like, I need to
So that's why we don't make bets.
We don't make bets. Really. I'll again, like maybe like one shot if it's like against one person, but not like a whole table. Cause I ain't that baller yet.
You wouldn't get this, but like, I was about to say it. There's a scene from Friends where he's like, Joey doesn't share food. And I was about to say, Megan doesn't make bets. And I was like, she's not going to get it. So I had to explain it to you. Here we are.
I really
look at us now.
Yeah. I got to watch that show too. I'll get on it. You've got me on enough shows.
Yeah. You have a lot of homework, honestly. So.
But truly,
in both the television and the, actual school
thing. Oh, yeah, I do have that. I would like to end this show, though, by giving my sincerest apologies to Brett Maher. Not because I thought he was good at football, but because I probably shouldn't have said the mean things I said about him publicly. Because then, this was still when I was dating the equipment manager.
You're the one who's outing yourself on this, just so we're clear.
I know, but it's like so tragically bad. I have to say this.
She gave herself like a week timeout on Twitter.
I was like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person. Like, I hate myself. And this man never saw it, but still, I was like, I'm being an asshole. I'm being a total asshole. I was like, I need to take a step back.
Didn't his like wife or something follow you?
No.
Oh, but you were worried that she might see it.
Something like that. I mean, I definitely like back in the day, I said some shit about Matt Johnson and then he added me and I was like, oh, fuck. So like this is my second time being a total dick on social media. So I'm very sorry to Matt Johnson. And
you know, you live and you learn.
Eventually. And now we're Facebook friends, which I don't know how that happened, but whatever. Anyways,
it's called growth.
Yeah. And so my boyfriend at the time was like, you know, Brett Maher is like the nicest guy of all time. Like he straight up FaceTimes his children in the locker room every day before practice. And I'm like, don't tell me this. Like, I already think I'm a horrible person. And now I know I am. Oh, I'm going to hell. Or I was. Not anymore. Repent. Repeat. All right. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed our story time. We obviously have way more that we can share one day if you are interested. I'm sure.
Hopefully they'll give us like more news to talk about next week. So
yeah. Like, it's like, what's the do something. Like, I don't know. What are you waiting for? Like,
somebody do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at me trying to quote movies and it fails per usual. Cause I don't watch movies. All right.
She doesn't.
No,
but she has watched Free Willy, in case you were wondering.
I did watch Free Willy and Dave has not seen Free Willy. So shame on him for that. Like, that's a cultural moment in time. Like, do you even know who Michael Jackson is? Like, really? Cause
what?
He had a song in that.
Because
it was okay. Like an epic song too. Like, I'm just drawing conclusions because it's so shocking to me that you haven't, like, have you seen The Little Mermaid as well? Like,
did you pull a muscle from that reach or no?
I just am saying it's plausible. I'm not sure. Can't confirm nor deny. The hypothesis exists, though. So someone's got to test it. All right. I'm going to go do my homework now because obviously I'm in a really great mindset to be productive and make sound decisions. So guys, thank you so much for listening to us. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Make sure you.
I hope we rotted only a few brain cells of yours.
Yeah, only a few. It's fine. We're around for more next week. Make sure you're subscribed to the Log of the Boys podcast feed, wherever your podcast, though, whether that is Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or Stitcher. We're also on the YouTube. But if you want to follow Meg and I, you can do that as well. You probably should do that as well. I'm on Instagram at Hey Kelsey Charles, and I'm also on the Twitter at Kelsey_Charles, and Megan is
at Meg Murray with 4 R's on everything.
And in light of the fact that Eagles fans are real dumb, I just feel like these words apply more than ever. So, Meg?
Dallas forever, Philly for never.
Birds aren't real, and don't record yourself while you're doing stupid shit. Or do, because...
So, just for good measure, I'd like to say that I took a bus through Jersey and drove by MetLife. It's trash, so...
Bad stadium. Hate it.
Saying that to the Giants fans, too.
You know what's also stupid? Teams that don't have real names. At Washington. Hate you, too.
Yeah. Get a real name, bro.
Do something with yourself, okay? Goodbye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.